Yeah, just since Thursday. I worked on Wednesday.
Ah. It
Good
just
morning,
seems.
gentlemen.
Good
Good
morning.
morning.
It just seems like it's disappointing because I had all these aspirations to get stuff done and I didn't do anything.
What
Like
for
I'm.
the holiday weekend?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to retire. I just am. I'm just. I don't mind staying home all day. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I'm
Definitely.
there.
I mentally, I could retire. I could afford it.
Yeah. I
I'm
want to
definitely not one of
so.
those.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm definitely not one of those people that needs to work to stay busy. I definitely know those kind of people where if they don't have a job, they don't
Don't
really know
know
what
what
to
to
do with
do.
themselves.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
I think all three of us are, we have plenty of hobbies and interests we could keep ourselves busy with.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It just
for
seems
sure.
so far away. And I thought I would feel like rejuvenated like by having a couple days off. And I don't.
Not the case, huh?
It almost makes it worse.
It, you know what? Honestly, in some of my older jobs, not what I've been doing the past several years, but before that, like that's exactly how it was. Like it would make it worse because the more time off I had, like the more I had to like get back into the groove of having to be at work every day. For
Yeah.
And it was just more and more, it would be more difficult. Same way with vacation. I'd be looking so forward to a vacation week. And then that Sunday, when, before I have to go back, I was just like way worse than it was just a regular weekend because it's like I wasn't mentally ready to go back to work and I'd been able to enjoy myself. So, yeah, I totally.
And
Yeah,
then
it's
on
not.
Thanksgiving we kept getting a like an Apple hack call. Like it was every hour on the hour at our home phone number, not our cell phones. But like they'd leave a me it's one of those computer aided your Apple ID's been compromised, press one, that kind of crap. And it just like was going off every hour on the hour. We couldn't get rid of it.
Jeez.
And then it stopped as soon as Thanksgiving was over.
Always get the one about my car warranty.
Oh, I
Oh
get that
yeah.
every once in a while too.
I get that one all the time. I definitely miss the days when, back when cell phones were newer, and you really just didn't get those kind of calls on your cell phone.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was
but
nice. You never I never
those
used to get
days are
any
gone.
spam. Yeah. That's because
Those days are
regular
gone,
phones
gone.
don't exist anymore. Mostly. I mean, we still have a house phone, but most people just use their cells.
Yep.
Yeah, we don't even have a, we don't have a house phone. But yeah, if they stuck to house phones, they wouldn't have anybody to scam.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. I mean, a lot of the scams are aimed at the elderly, unfortunately, and they're the ones that are going to still have the landlines.
Yeah.
The only reason why we still
Good
have a
times.
landline, apart from the fact that literally the only person or the only people, I guess, that we actually know that still calls our landline are my parents. Like Stacy's mom doesn't even call it anymore. But I get it for free because I work for the phone company. So
Yeah.
otherwise, we would just tell my parents, like, just
Yeah,
call ourselves.
it's the same here. It's pretty much my parents and doctors. Like, I guess we don't have our doctors moved over yet. We've
Yeah.
tried, but we still have some link in there somehow, or they call this number first. But yeah, my dad calls all three different phones. Like, he got a smartphone and doesn't know how to use it. So like, he'll just click on probably Mikey or something like that, and he's got all three phones in there, so sometimes he calls Barb, sometimes he calls my cell phone, sometimes he calls the home phone.
Depends on how he
It's hard
feels.
having parents with like just kind of don't understand the technology or feel uncomfortable with it,
Yeah.
and you're not there to help them. Like,
Oh, for sure.
yeah, I tried to do it when I was there, and it thought everything was, okay. Thought
Yeah.
they had it down packed, and as soon as I left, my mom said, "I'm switching back to a flip phone." My dad stayed there, but he doesn't really know how to use it.
My dad has a, like a regular smartphone now, and he's on there all the time, like looking at news and stuff. But, I mean, it's still not, they don't rely on it like, or they don't use it as much as we would.
Yeah, and I want to get my dad's like my dad and mom like Disney Plus and Netflix, like to keep them occupied, especially because of the COVID. But I can't do it unless I'm there. Get them set up. Like it would
Yeah.
be a nightmare.
Speaking of Thanksgiving and the holidays, how were your guys' Thanksgivings? Did you was it just you and your wives? Did you do anything? Did you just stay at home? What was the deal?
It was just another day for us. I mean, recent years, we don't really do much on Thanksgiving in the first place, so it wasn't really that different for
Oh, that's good.
us. What about
But
you, Mike?
we had turkey and stuff, but we went and got ours from like Honey Baked Ham. So we just,
Nice.
but it was good. I still had my red chili with mashed potatoes, and that's all that matters for Thanksgiving.
Good for you.
Yeah, but we didn't do anything. I think we left the house twice, like this whole for 5 days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there was, yeah, I'm the same way. I actually went out to grab a coffee a couple of days ago and today, and I mean that's like the only time. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. On Thanksgiving, Stacy still made Thanksgiving dinner, and then she bought all these plastic containers, and we boxed everything up. We drove out to my parents' house. We gave them Thanksgiving dinner, and then we went to Stacy's mom's and did the same, and then we came home, reheated our food and had the meal.
That's
So
pretty
it was
good.
Oh, look at you guys. That's very nice of you.
Well, you know what? I mean, it was very nice of us, but that
I'm glad you agree.
surprise too.
What's that?
We were planning on still getting together. In order to get a hold of any of those pies, we really needed to get over there with something to exchange in return. You know
Okay.
what I'm saying?
Well,
Yeah.
we got a barter system going on. That's
That's right.
okay.
No, but it was cool. It was nice to still, even though it wasn't obviously this, close to being the same, it's still nice to see them. You
Well,
got to
that's
kind of
good
chat.
that you're so close. Like,
Yeah, and we're like 20 minutes away from my parents,
so
and
you'll probably never ever move.
I would love to move to. I already told you that I want to move. I'll move next door to your folks.
You want to be in Albuquerque?
Sure, you told me that that's a great part of New Mexico to go to, and that's where I'm gonna move. It's New Mexico.
Yeah. My dad wants a TV for the backyard. I'm like, he
Yard, huh?
says, we spend so much time in the backyard now that it's COVID that I want a TV back there. I said, well, don't you enjoy mom's great conversation? You're not gonna have to hear it anymore.
That's pretty funny.
And it's funny because it'll probably get stolen within I don't
Oh,
know, 6 months.
that's terrible.
Yeah.
When tire and stuff, depending on where the kids are and everything, I could see us moving out that way for sure. If the kids have moved on and like living in other parts of the country, it'd be more likely that we'll go ahead and we'll move out. If the kids are both local, then probably a lot smaller chance that we would actually move to New Mexico. But
There used to be a huge Verizon like call center on Coors and they shut it down.
Yeah, they shut down a
No, but
lot of.
it was like right between my parents and Barb's parents. Like
Oh,
right,
really?
yeah, just on the drive there. It was a
Yeah.
huge building.
I wonder if it was I mean, had it been the wireless side, because we weren't handling landline out there. But yeah, it's they, I mean, they definitely have, over the course of the past 20 years, reduced our imprint or footprint or whatever you want to say.
Yeah. But I'm glad you guys are safe and you had a good Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And get ready back to go to back to work.
So far, everyone's healthy. So that's
Yes.
important.
Yeah, that means a lot this year.
It means a whole lot, yeah. We talked a little, Chris, when me and Mike were on the DC everything else, but like I was telling Mike that, like, Erie County and stuff is just like I mean, it's not out of control when you consider the whole country, but when you consider New York, it's way higher than most of the rest of the state in terms of the rates.
Yeah, I mean the worst, I guess that worst infection rate that we've seen this year, I think, is like up to 50%. And like speaking nationwide, that was
Yeah.
kind of like what New York City was when it all
Back in Mar April or
hit the
whatever.
fan. And then I think like Wyoming has been up there.
Yeah, can you? That's crazy, isn't it?
That's 50% of the population of Wyoming is not a lot of people, though.
No, but
Not
it's not.
to minimize it,
Well,
I'm not
well,
saying
well.
it's
It's
not a big chunk of people.
even worse though, because Wyoming's pretty spread out. Like it's not like New York, right? I mean, where people are all
Yeah, that's
over.
true. Yeah, it takes more spread to
It
get there.
it's just that people in certain states, they just don't believe. They think it's some kind of conspiracy theory, and somehow putting on a mask is like taking away their civil rights. I don't understand that.
It's not just certain states. It's
Oh
there's
no,
people
it's
all over
everywhere.
the place.
It's
Yeah.
everywhere.
I feel the same way about putting on pants, taking away my civil rights.
Yeah,
What
there
the
you go.
hell? Who are they saying I have to put my pants on?
You should wear your pants on your face.
You go.
Yeah, and then you're covered.
Especially if you're British.
I didn't get that one.
I didn't either.
Pants in England means your underwear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of my friends had a good idea to get the rates down locally, is that all of us who have absolutely no reason to believe that we should be, that we've encountered COVID, go get tests anyhow, all of us. And then our rates of infection will go right down because we'll all be in the negative column.
I don't think that makes sense because
Why?
it's
It's the percentage of people being tested that are positive. So if we all go get tested, then we're going to lower the percentage.
No,
yeah,
but
but it's compared to the population.
I think
It's
what
not,
the
no, it's not compared to the population. It's just a factor of how many people they tested that day.
but I think it's still like when they give you the percentage point, it's like percentage versus the population.
See, I wasn't under that impression. I mean, you,
Yeah, it's
I'm
the
not.
percentage, at least here it's the percentage per population because they'll say
Hang on, I'm going to do some
it's
quick
not just based
math.
on testing, but they'll say like it's one in every 80 people or something like that
Right, I'm going to
have
do some quick
COVID.
math because they tested 8,176 people. I'm sorry, that's how many people were positive. And they tested 219,442, and that what did I do? 8,000.
This is some great math on live.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in his head, folks.
Okay.
Like this
No,
is
no,
he's
no. I'm right. I'm
Hey,
right.
wait. Carry the one. Carry the one.
So they tested on the 26th. They tested 8,107. I'm sorry. On the 26th, they tested 219,442 people in New York State. 8,176 were positive, and it telling us that our rate for that day was 3.73%, which is that percentage.
But that's the rate for testing.
Yeah,
there's other statistics available.
But that's what he reports every day. That's what's on the COVID website. Every single day. Like when he says our rate is this, that's what he's reporting.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I think this weekend this weekend is going to like make it much worse.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I think there's people that are cautious and careful, but then there's people that just don't care. But the real problem is not how many people get it. It's how the hospitals are filling up. That's the statistic you really need to look at, because that's when they have to start making choices about who to keep alive and who to kill. I mean,
or not safe.
based on probability, it's the same.
Yeah. But you're right in, but I think that there's more extremes to the people that are careful and the people that just don't care. There's a large majority of people who feel like, listen, it's just my own family. I'm only going to see whatever, you know, six other people in my family. We're getting together for Thanksgiving. There's no big deal. That's being cautious. I'm not going out running around. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to go see my family. And they don't understand that if you get together with 10 or 12 people and one of those other people isn't as cautious as you.
Yeah, that's
then
exactly
now
right.
Now you have it, even though you felt like you were being careful.
If you were all like in isolation and careful, then you're probably good.
We're going to see this huge rise because you're going to have no matter how many times people, you know, said don't, you know, try not to gather. People felt like it's my own house or it's my parents' house or whatever. It's going to be perfect and safe. And a lot of people are going to come down with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know, though, if I was back home, we would be eating Thanksgiving in the backyard or something. Like we would have been there.
Advantage, that's an advantage of New Mexico in November.
Yeah, you could eat outside, mostly, sometimes. Depends on the day.
Yeah.
New Mexico can get cold, but it's not like here.
Yeah. Or here, I'm sure. Where it can be cold for 8 months of the year in a row. So what else is new with you guys?
Not much. I saw that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, little sort of semi-documentary that Barb sent you.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Me and Stacy have to
sit
down.
That was like enlightening to know that there's an extra hour of footage that they just don't know where it is in the vaults. Like it was a three hour movie, and they only had clips from like a little bit, but the one clip that I would like to see, and it doesn't really take the magic from the movie, but supposedly before they go to his house for Thanksgiving, there's a huge conversation between Steve Martin and John Candy about like his wife, and it looked like real emotional. Like I was like, wow, that would have been something to see.
Well, I read a little, like the little portion that was, I didn't watch it, but some of the description said something about an affair. Or possible affair.
Well, that's an underlying, like you can see it now. Like I wouldn't have known it. Like I would have never known it based on the wife's responses. But there were phone call conversations.
Yeah.
And like, he thought that Dale was a girl. She thought that Dale was a girl. So every time there was a conversation, and then at the end when she makes that smirk and it's John Candy, it's because she's almost like she's relieved that her husband was telling the truth.
John Candy. Well, you know, there was the one phone conversation where they first land in wherever it was, Wichita, I think it was. And I always thought it was odd that she's like, she goes, Neil, what are you doing? What is not being able to land in Chicago have to do with Wichita? It was like, seemed like a very strange question to ask in
Yeah.
light of the fact that the plane that they closed the airport. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
it didn't seem confusing to me even as a kid. I'm like, why is she acting like that's a weird question.
Yeah,
But now I'm
that's
thinking she thought that he was off on like fooling around or something like
Yeah,
that.
there's probably like three really good tidbits in that, and then like to learn from that video and then go rewatch it and see like they edited that out. The other thing that they didn't explain is that there's that conversation between him and Dale at the restaurant, or Dell at the
Don't
restaurant.
Griffith.
Yeah, Dell Griffith. There's the thing at the restaurant where he's like accusing him of taking money out of his wallet, and it's because they took out a whole scene
Oh,
where
by the pizza.
with the pizza. Yes, they took out the pizza scene, and the pizza delivery guy is the same guy that broke into the hotel and took the
Oh, it
money. Yes. So there's like a
Wow.
lot of like really good like nuggets in that thing. Like it just, I don't know, that's a magical movie. It's
It is. Yeah, we just watched it. We didn't watch it on Thursday. We watched it on Friday instead.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, I know. It's so good. I can just quote so many things from it.
Yeah, we watched a lot of TV. It seems like we're caught up on like a lot of shows now. The Mandalorian and
The
Star
mandolin.
Trek and The Mandolin. Yeah. We watched New Mutants, we saw Underwater, and we saw Pet Sematary. So we saw three movies.
Oh, cool. We just recently saw New Mutants, and I saw Pet Sematary when it came out at the remake in the theater, but Stacey's not into that stuff, so I had to watch it by myself.
It was pretty good, 'cause it was, I don't remember the original, but I saw the originals on Amazon Prime now too. So it would be interesting to go back.
It's definitely different.
Well, do you remember the original? 'Cause I got a question. 'Cause the original had the Addams Family, I mean the Munsters
You're right. Yeah.
guy.
I not enough that I'm probably going to be able to answer your question, but you can try.
It seemed like the old man instigated the whole damn thing in this one, like in the second one, the remake.
In so far as
Like he caused the whole problem. Like he's the one that took the cat, and then that sprung the daughter, and then they switched the, I know they switched the male and female children in movies, but what I don't understand, it plays like the, if that guy wasn't in there and he wouldn't have caused the whole thing to begin with, it wouldn't have ended the way it ended.
Right, I agree, and that's, I mean, that's kind of how the book is in so far as, you know, the majority of the time from how they explained it is when you bring these animals back, it's not really a, I mean, they're not totally the same, but they're not, it's not that much different, and it's not that big of a deal, and but he never, you know, but he never thought that, you know, there would be an idea to bring a person back.
I got the impression that the guy tried with his wife when she got
Oh,
cancer.
really? I'm gonna have to
I,
watch it
I
again.
got I got that impression.
Well, you might be right. I mean, it's a lot fresher in your
And then
memory. I
underwater is sort of about like a Cthulhu creature in the water.
never heard of that one.
It's on HBO Max. It was
Okay.
at the theater. It lost a lot of money. But I wanted to see it at the theater because I'm like if there's shark movies and underwater stuff like The Abyss and stuff, I like that stuff because I always think of like the ocean as like space, like another Uncharted, like so much that we don't know about.
It's got Kristen Stewart in it.
Yeah.
I see it.
I have a question for you because they mentioned you on Nerdy Legion. And
Me?
I thought on the latest one, and
Okay, I'm still on.
I could have
I'm still
sworn that one of them's interpreting you incorrectly, but I just want to make sure because I thought you didn't watch the X-Men animated series.
No, I never watched it.
That's what I thought. Nick kept saying you watched it. And I'm
Oh.
like, no, he never watched it.
I might have seen a part of an episode here or there,
Yeah, you ought to
but
you ought to
I've
tweet
never
Nick,
sat
you
down
ought
and
to
watched
tweet
it.
Nick and clarify that for him.
We talked extensively about the fact that he hasn't watched that on this
Yeah.
podcast, I believe.
They did.
Well, I haven't gotten around to it.
Well, you don't listen to podcasts anymore.
I do. I'm up to September 18th.
Well, that's because you don't skip around.
No, I don't.
I do a lot of like exercise and stuff, so I still listen to podcasts pretty regularly. The only thing is I've added more. I subtracted some and added more, and now it's hard because I listen to that Rob Servations and it's 2 a week.
To
And
a week,
I'm
wow.
addicted to it because I always learn like 5 or 6 tidbits that sends me down a bunch of rabbit holes. As a matter of fact, I wanted to cover a couple of the new 52 books, and we're just like a year away from it. And
I plus an 11.
I wanted to cover it 'cause there's like some good nuggets in there. Like I didn't know how fucking crazy the new 52 editors were. Like they were insane. They were
I'm
about stupid
really
shit
looking
though,
forward to
about
hearing about
stupid shit about like B or C list characters.
that.
Like he would get a script approved, and then they'd say, and then he'd get a call from Eddie Braganza, who wasn't even his editor, and said, "You know, editorial kind of wants you to put Cheshire into Deathstroke, and they want you to put Zealot into Grifter." And so he's like, okay, I could deal with that. And I could still have my plot and still have him in there. And then later on, he gets a call and says, you know, we're talking and we think you should put Zealot in Deathstroke and Cheshire in Grifter. And he's like, what? He says, oh, I guess it's the new 52, so okay, I could do that. And then later on, like Dan DiDio's like flipping out because he has Cheshire in the book. And he's like throwing the book against the wall, and that's why it wasn't Cheshire in the story. It was I forget what her name was, that he made up another character, but he still used the same art. But there's just like crazy little nuggets in there, like of what was
Yeah.
happening.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, comic books have been around for so long. And when you think about so many of like the best stories, not all the time, but usually they're when you left the writer alone to do what he wanted to do.
Yeah. And I just don't see like how it would have mattered. Like I don't remember where they put Cheshire. Maybe she
No, I
was
don't
in
either.
Teen Titans, maybe. Because Titans was sort of decoupled from Deathstroke and everything. It was so weird. But and I don't know if you remember. I was reading it all, but this makes now that I'm rereading it. Man, the Daemonites had like the from Wildcats had like a big part of the New 52, man. They were incorporated into Superman. They were in everything.
I
It
don't
was
remember.
incredible.
I wasn't re I don't think I was reading enough of that part of the universe at that time.
Oh, I was reading it all. So I mean, I read all this stuff and I just had to reread it just to. So I like started with issue 9 where Rob took over a bunch of the books. And I remember I was pissed at Rob because I thought he was throwing a tantrum on Hawkman, and I liked Mark Polton. He was writing it. So I'm like, ah, oh, he got Mark Poulton. Now that he left the book, Mark Poulton doesn't have a job. So I was kind of pissed off about it. But now I know why. Like, I know like what was happening behind the scenes. And it's crazy. And now he's
Don't forget,
talking.
though, you're still only hearing one side of the story when you're
I
listening
was
to that
gonna say that
No, but
too.
he has receipts and emails that he posts on his podcast. You can read stuff. Like, he's not bullshitting. So.
It's definitely interesting stuff, and when you start talking about like New 52, or maybe you already have, and I just haven't gotten to it because I'm 2 months behind, but definitely will be interested to see what you have to say.
Yeah, I don't it's I wanted to cover it 'cause it was so good. Like, it made it even better, like the read. Because now I understand like why some of these characters, like why was Zealot with Deathstroke? And you learn why
Interesting.
like Lobo was his idea to put in a bounty, have Deathstroke go after Lobo. And this is before Lobo became that thin Lobo. Because Lobo first appeared, I think, in Deathstroke, and then later on he appeared in Stormwatch, and then he became that skinny guy, which is it's a good comic. Like, if you have the DC app, you should read it.
Okay.
It's like worth reading. Like, people were pissed off because they changed the look of Lobo, but it has
Yeah,
a pretty good,
I remember when that happened,
yeah,
but I didn't read them.
it has a good explanation about like what that is and why they did it. I mean, the way they wrote it is the Lobo that we've known forever in New 52, the big guy, is not the real Lobo. So,
That's very
yeah,
good
it's.
to do.
There's some interesting things in there. It's worth
Yeah.
it's definitely worth reading. That app has a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a good app to like reread stuff for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I did that renewal thing, so like I get that, I think a $50
Did they
gift
make you
card.
get a new ID or what did they
No.
do?
No, I
Did you
just
have
like
to download a different app, or do you still use DC Universe until the new one comes?
same app for now at least. I assumed that it was going to stay the same app. I mean, I could be wrong. I thought that they were just going to rename it and pull the video stuff off of there when the time comes.
Yeah,
I didn't
I know
see
they're
it.
pulling the video stuff off, but
Yeah.
yeah. But anyway, you guys
And
ready to?
well, I got one more thing. I'm a gamer
Sure.
now, Mike.
You're what?
I'm a gamer.
A gamer?
Yeah.
What are you playing?
I got a PS5.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh. So
Why'd you
I've been
do that? Your
playing. You're all
kids?
alone now, Mike. You're the last man standing.
No, I still got games. I got my
Got an
Sega.
Atari
I got my
2600?
Sega upstairs still.
No,
Can play NBA Jam.
I'm saying you're the last man with your first love that you love more than your wife. Comics.
No, so I
You
managed to
gotta
get.
tell Barb that, you didn't get copies of her with the cover ripped off when you were a kid, so.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't. I'll explain it like that. That'll go over well.
That should go. That should probably go over well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I managed to snag one, Mike. So I got that. Now, funny enough, there wasn't any new $70 PS5 game that I felt like I really wanted right out the gates. But I never had a PlayStation 4, so I got a PlayStation 4 game, and I've been playing that. And the PS5 came with a game that's been a lot of fun to play. So, yeah, me and the kids have been
Oh,
playing a
so
lot
is
of
it backward compatible then?
PS4,
PS4,
yes,
yeah,
pretty
practically,
much. Yeah.
like 99.9% of the
Can you
PS4
go back
games
to
were.
PS3?
No.
Can you get an adapter?
Not at
No.
this point, not that I've seen.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I would have if I made a system. That's one thing I loved about Sega is they would do that.
I read an article. They said something like, "What, like for the amount of money that they need to put into it to make sure that it would play all of that as
That's a
well."
lot. It's
It's
a lot of
not,
testing. Yeah.
yeah, it's not enough.
It's just not a financially viable.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. That's what they. Whereas PS4, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer because they want to encourage people to get the new system and not lose out on all of the games that they've been playing for the past, what, 7, 8 years.
What made you buy
Yeah,
that
it's.
when you could have bought another CGC?
I just wanted to. I wanted to play. Get something new. Now that the kids are, get the age that they're at, they're
So they could
interested.
play the mature, like the games that are rated M.
Yeah, they've been playing all those BioShock games
Yeah,
before.
there you go.
They're playing. So they're playing the game that I came with, which is called Astro's Playroom. And your little like robot, like the 3D Mario style, not the side scrolling, but the one where you can like run all around. It's similar to that, and they can play Ratchet and Clank too. So they've been playing that.
I
So yeah.
absolutely hate new games. Like, I hate them. Ever since they added, like, all these dimensions and you can move the torso, and oh God, I hate them with a passion.
Oh,
You're
Mike.
such an old man, Mike.
I hate them. I go to my niece and nephews and try to play that game, and I'm like, I just want to throw the controller against the wall. I just hate them. I despise new games.
What do you really think about
They suck. Give me Space Invaders and Donkey Kong and I'm fine.
Oh, well, you know. I'm enjoying
That's
it so
funny.
far, even though I'm very old as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they're definitely. Did you see there was one scalper group that scalped like over 3,000 PS5s?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, I hate that crap, but.
How that? I mean, I understand it's buying is buying, but like, why are those? Is it legal to use those bots and stuff like that? Why is that allowed? I don't even understand how they work. Like, how are they able to get in and answer all that stuff, and click through before like I can even click the first thing? Because
Yeah.
isn't it either like
I think they
backlogged or
have to. I
not?
think they have to have insider jobs. I really do. Like they have somebody like working at GameStop. That's whole. I mean, they just have to.
I mean, it's possible. I
Yeah, I
can't believe
don't
to get one, to be honest. Like a bunch of them, my coworkers and stuff, they were trying to get them, and I'm the only one that I know that actually ended up getting one online.
I do like gaming systems better than computer games, though. Because computer games, things advance, and then you need a video card, and then you need all this. I'd rather have a system that's just built for that.
I went back and forth. I was. You know, obviously, as a young kid, you know, that's all there were the consoles. And then I started playing nothing but computer games for most of the time. But now I'm just not. I'm kind of in that mindset that you just said, Mike. I don't want to have to keep up on. But you know, when you buy a computer, literally like 6 months later, it's already out of date with the video and stuff like that. I just can't. I don't have the patience for that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit of that's a bit of an exaggeration, though. I mean,
It
you
is.
can.
It is. But it's no. You're right. It is. But it's you know it when brand new ones come out, and sometimes you know you start it starts to slow down your computer and stuff like that. I'm just not.
And then
I
you
don't
need
know.
firmware patches and all kinds of shit. It's. I don't like to upgrade my computer. I let mine go forever. I don't buy one every year, like some
Well,
people.
no, you shouldn't have to buy one every year. Yeah, I mean, some people do, but that's their hobby or their prerogative. You know, some people get really obsessive about having the latest and the greatest and stuff like that with computers, and it facilitates that. I mean, you have that option, but if you're like if you want to, you could buy a computer about as often as the new consoles come out and be fine. You know, it's just, if you like the people that really talk about PC gaming a lot and are really enthusiastic about it are the type of people that are wanting to like play every game on the ultra high settings and are chasing like the best of the best. But it reminds me like people that are like super into cars, you know, and like I'm fine if my car just drives me where I need to go, you know. And then you have people that are super into cars and, you know,
have
like,
a new car every other year or lease it,
yeah,
and then get another car. Yep.
They spend all their time like caring for it and like tweaking this and that and trying to get the best performance out of it, and they're looking at analytics and stuff like that. You know, you have people that are into PCs that are just like that. But if you want to, and but like you said, I mean, there's definitely I like both. There's positives and negatives, you know.
Before we cut loose, I got one more question for Rob.
Okay.
So,
been cutting loose this whole time.
Our data,
you guys.
That's
can't
because
smell
you don't. that's pretty nasty.
The smell cast.
Yeah. Comic Base 2021. So how did you get? I don't have option for CGC grades.
Yeah.
So what do? So, you enter them in manually or what?
No. So like you got it open right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just click the condition for a particular book. There's the little drop down, right?
Oh, you mean go into modify or what?
No. When you're actually like. Looking at your list.
Okay, so I got like spawn number one, and I want to click condition. Yep.
Condition, and a little drop down arrow should appear next to whatever condition it is.
Yeah, and I only have mint, near mint.
When you scroll down, you don't have CGC, CGC, CGC.
No.
I've got all these CGCs just showing here without me doing it.
CGC, 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 CGC.
That's all that there is. How do you print a screen so I can put it in thing? Is it control print screen?
Yeah, I don't have that. I just went to X-Men number one too, and there's no CGC.
What the heck?
Do they have a smartphone app yet?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Mike, I just sent a picture in our chat. Take a look at it.
They didn't have one for the longest time, right?
Right. It was just a web thing. I don't really have Amazing Fantasy 15.
All mine says is near mint to poor. I don't even have a scroll bar.
That's weird.
If you didn't buy a PS5, Rob, then you could have Amazing Fantasy 15.
That's possible.
I wonder if there's an option you have to.
Not really.
Set.
I don't.
You
know.
Could have like.
I never did anything. Yeah, exactly. I never did anything with it, Mike. It just was there. When I first put, maybe it knows that you don't have any CGC books.
Yeah, but you would have had to put yours in. That mean, and you never did, right? You never had to put a CGC grade in.
No,
there.
No, I never had to manually put it in. No, it was just there when I could select the condition.
Yeah.
They can see inside your house, and they know if you crack them open or not.
that's probably it. They can say, this guy has no CGC in there, and we know that when he does get them, he breaks them open.
So we're taking that option away.
Yeah, they're saving me that option. It just would be nice to see that option.
Well, yeah, because you know what some of them are, right? Because, yeah, I don't even see like where on here you would go. You should send an email to what's his name?
Yeah, they still haven't fixed that. You know, one of the bugs that I hate is when you click on
what you're gonna think.
When you click on the plus to add a title, and it's like it wants to autofill it, but you have to almost put like a bogus character in there and then go in to edit it later, just to get it to you can add a new title.
Is that the workaround? Because I mean, I wanted to add a
That's the
small
yeah that's the
kickstart
work
like
that's the workaround that I do is you just go in. So like if you have a title called Spawn and you want to add an extra character and it won't let you. Well, no, I'm trying to think of an example and I can't think of it because it happens to me almost every time with my Kickstarters.
Yeah.
Can't remember which one I entered in last, but I entered it in and it didn't let me. Oh, I know which one it was. It was Ever, which because it's the new Terry Moore book. And there's I wanted to enter in Ever, whatever the hell it's called. It's like, and it wouldn't let me because it was autofilling the next character. Like it wants to select a title that already exists. But
Yes, I found the same. Yes, I found the same
that's the
thing.
bug that drives me nuts. So I have to put like Ever and then a character it doesn't recognize so I could do that and then go edit it later. In other words, as soon as it brings up the panel to put in the prices and the creators, I have to go edit the title and take out that extra character.
I think I, Mike, I think I, yeah, I found it. Okay,
Yeah.
go up to setup,
Yep.
click grading,
Oh.
click grading sets up at the top there,
Oh, and you can
and then
select it.
just click the CGC standard grades.
Oh, I see.
And so mine must have been auto-clicked because I never did this.
Yeah.
I actually inadvertently took it
Well,
out when I had.
I was just gonna go look at the help to do it, but because I know it's there, I knew it never showed up, and I probably don't want it. It would just be interesting to see what one is
But
that.
some of the ones that you cracked open, you could put down as that's the grade, right? Because
Yeah, but it's all objective. Like it, I might send it to grade it if I had like a 9.95, send it to grade again, and they could rate it a 9, or they could give it a
absolutely.
9.8. So it's like.
It really is amazing to me at how much the differences are
In
between
price.
like those great like a 9.4 and a 9.6 when what you said is absolutely true.
Oh,
You
it's a
could just you
9.8 is
see
like where
submitting
people
it.
go nuts. Like they don't want
Right.
anything but a 9.8. So.
Exactly. And it, you if you would come back with a 9.6, I guarantee you could probably
A lower
crack it open,
price,
keep
yeah.
resending it until you finally get a 9.8.
Yeah, Just keep rolling the dice until you get the right number.
Right.
It's just expensive to do all that. You don't ever send away and get yours graded. You
I
buy them
sent
graded,
no
right?
no I the a lot of the ones tend when they first opened, they opened around 2000.
Yeah.
CGC, I actually sent them. Like when I bought that X-Men one, I read it. I put it away. I was so freaked out. I didn't want it getting damaged. That I'm like, when this service then came out, I'm like, I'm gonna do this. So
And
I sent it.
you send it in mail and then insured it or what?
You have to send it insured.
So how
Register
okay, so
that.
how much did you pay? Can I'm just gonna ask for this. How much did you pay for X-Men number one?
2,200.
Okay. How much did you pay for the CGC grade plus the insurance plus the mailing?
Yeah, that I don't remember anymore.
But
I mean,
was it a couple hundred or was it less?
no, less than that.
Okay, so it was.
It probably wasn't even $100.
But you insured it for the value of the book, right? Like
Yes.
when you sent it,
Well,
you said,
at that
I
time,
want
been
this
like
thing insured
$2,000.
for 2 grand or whatever,
Right.
right? You
Yeah.
either round it up or round it down. Okay.
Yeah.
So how much was it now in
Well,
that
I don't
grade?
know. Our database says it's something, but that doesn't mean that that's what it's going for.
No, but what is the grade on it?
Seven.
Okay, I'm just gonna go to eBay and see what it's going for.
Oh boy. You're talking about
X-Men.
the the Jim Lee one, right? Jim Lee
yeah.
Investment number one.
Thank you, Chris. That's exactly right.
That's why I figured.
Well, this one says 200 or best offer. No, that's number 19. Well, I know some of the... Do you ever use that feature where you say request a new price change? Do you ever?
No, I don't think I
use that a lot because I find discrepancies where they're too high, like ridiculously off market.
I have noticed that before. I didn't know that was an option.
Well, like you'll see when I sent you my list and I had that Luke Cage, it's nowhere near that price.
Like, well, even when you look at mine, some of those are way off. It's like there's no way that some of them should be in the order that they are.
And when this new edition is supposed to be better. I don't know how it's going to be better, but it's supposed to be better with their prices. I don't understand how. I just read like a summary of the different features.
I'll have to take a look. There was an X-Men 7-0 that was sold on September 19th on eBay.
For how much?
More than $2,000.
Was it $3,000?
Oh, that was mine.
Huh? It was Chris's? It was
yeah.
$20,500.
Century number one is worth a fortune now, Chris. Right. You should have had that slabbed.
What's going on with century number one?
That Chris... character's dumb. I'm glad I got rid of it.
No, you're not. It's
What's
awesome.
Up with him?
No, his price just went up wicked.
Why is it valuable now, Mike?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It just is. I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, nobody knows.
No,
right?
It could be just... you know what these speculator sites are like? They're like Wizard Magazine. So they like spark the interest depending on what they're promoting. And I think they caused the spikes a lot, just like Wizard Magazine caused the spikes.
Mm-hmm. They look to see what comics I got rid of to make me feel bad.
Well, Darkhawk number one is worth like a lot now.
The dollar in the dollar bins.
It's not there anymore.
I had that too, I think.
I still own Darkhawk, but why is that worth anything?
Because of Disney. I think there's supposed to be a...
Speculation
that it's going
to... A lot of that stuff, though, you can tell what's going to actually retain value and what's just going to go up for a little while because of speculation and then come back down when the movie comes out and it sucks.
Our database isn't giving us all that. I mean, it's saying
$17. Oh, it's supposed to, though. Now it has... It's supposed to have, like, a report you can run where you could see... If it's hot or not, like there's a report you can run to say like what's the hottest books right now, top gainers and losers.
Really?
Yeah. So
I see that.
Yeah, you see it.
Oh, cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But I'm sorry that distracted, but we just got a brand new database update, so I just wanted to ask some questions. I do like some of the enhancements, but they didn't fix that one bug that bothers the shit out of me.
Yeah, I've got books just sitting here. I've noted them on a notepad of what I need to add, so because I couldn't do it. So now I'll try that workaround at least.
Well, the other thing that bugs me is the Epic Collections. They never enter it, so like it has to be me that enters it.
Uh-huh.
I never get it. Like, I go scan with my scanner, never in there.
I don't understand why not.
But if it's like an omnibus, bang, it's there. Like, if it's like another, like, brand new DC book, it's right there. But, yeah.
Maybe the guy who's in charge of inputting that stuff had a Epic Collection killed his parents.
Oh, maybe. Well, I'm actually the person that inputs it, and I'm real anal about it, so I, like, have to fill in all the fields. Like, I have to fill in the title. I have to fill in collects, what it collects, and then the creative teams. I don't do the inkers, but I do all the writers and the artists, and there could be a lot, depending on which Epic Collection it is. I don't do the picture because I don't give a shit. I like the pictures, like when I'm looking for something, but if I, like with Epic Collections, I own them all, thanks to Chris. I have, if it wasn't for Chris, I wouldn't have the Epic Collection addiction.
If this goes way back to
like an early episode of this podcast where you talked about an Epic Collection and it was out of order, and I was like, oh, that's so stupid, they don't even do it in the right order. And then I picked up my first one and I'm like, oh shit, that's pretty cool. It doesn't need to be in the right order. And then I was like, I had to go back and buy like a handful. And but I got in pretty early because of Chris.
I remember, but if not for me, it would have been something or somebody else that got you buying them. It's not that difficult.
No, it's you. It was all your fault. But it's worth it because everything has gone up in
right
value.
Next to you or something?
Everything is gone up. No, she's not here.
He didn't want to buy them at all.
I didn't want to. You made me.
That's why the postman comes to the house. So who are we blaming today, Mike? Which one of your friends is to blame for this shipment?
Well, if I ever get a CGC, I'll blame Rob.
Yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
He fixed your database.
Yeah, no,
showed me how to get something that probably should have been there already, I think.
Yeah.
Either that or at some point I said, fuck CGC. I took it off like the first version it came in, and then it like saved my properties like for every update. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to see all that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, I used to hate CGC, but now I get it. Like I still don't want it, but I get it.
They have that for video games now.
Yeah, they do. I've seen that. They were in the... I love watching those collector's shows. Like, I especially like the collector's shows that don't focus on comics. Because I feel like I already know a lot about the comics. Like, I'm not going to learn anything.
You know a little bit, yeah.
But when if I learn about bicycle collecting and shit like that, that's, like, fascinating. Or Barbie dolls. Like, I'm like, this is interesting because I know nothing about it.
Which is why you like the Toys That Made Us episode.
Oh, I love the Toys That Made Us. And I don't even have most of those toys.
Yeah.
I love the Movies That Made Us, too. I don't know if you watched that. But
yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought one of the best episodes was The Dirty Dancing, and I hate that movie. I can hate that movie. And I was like, this is a good episode. I
saw the episode. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I've seen the movie, and when we saw the movie, I hated it. Like, I thought it was going to be, because Patrick Swayze was like in Red Dawn and all kinds of good stuff that I liked. I thought it was going to be a movie more like a John Hughes movie. Like,
oh, okay,
Dirty
yeah.
Dancing, and I got this stupid dance movie, and I despise dancing in musicals. Like, I just don't like them. My brain just has no appreciation for them. And I understand why people like them. I just don't. Like, I just don't like them.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was going to be a Roadhouse sequel.
Oh, right. I love Roadhouse. You give me Roadhouse, I could watch that over and over again. Ah, Sam Elliott, he's like my hero. He's so gruff, and I dig him.
Sam Elliott.
All right. Well, who wants to start? Who's got the retro video game of the week?
I do not have a retro video game today.
I just have all comic books.
All right. We'll start with you.
Be a weirdo. With me you, or Rob you?
You. You spoke first, so you go.
That's
I gotta
how it
find
goes.
A pencil, though. I gotta find something to write with so I could write the episode notes, and I can't find a pen. All right, so what do you
Oops,
got?
I muted myself. I read the Black Moon Chronicles Volume 1, The Sign of Darkness.
Hmm.
Rated parental advisory.
What the heck is that?
This is a French comic that I had never heard of that I found on Hoopla. Looks like it was published over a long period of time. I think this first volume came out in the 80s, though. It's by Francois Freudeval and Olivier Ledroit. It is European style, kind of might, like something might see in like heavy metal, kind of more so than like a superhero style. It's fantasy for the most part, I'd say. It concerns this fellow. When we first meet him, he doesn't have a name. He's in the woods hunting. He hunts, kills a rabbit, roasts it over a fire, and he's about to eat when another man approaches from behind, raises his sword over his head, and he's about to kill the guy about to eat, when all of a sudden his sword speaks up and says, "Hold on, heads or tails. This kid's worth more than some mangy rabbit. Go on, sheath me." So this guy seems to be, his name is Heads or Tails, and he goes ahead and listens to his sword, sheathes it, and introduces himself, and so they share the meal instead. And we find out the guy that killed the rabbit, like I said, he doesn't have a name, but he knows that he's from this particular region called Whispers Hill. And Heads or Tails tells him that the elves, which it appears that Heads or Tails is an elf by his ears, whereas the other guy's a human. It appears, so Heads or Tails says that the elves call Whispers Hill Wismer Hill. So he said, "How about I call you that," basically. And he said, so Wismer, the newly dubbed Wismer Hill, asks why the other guy is called Heads or Tails. And so Heads or Tails stands up. He pulls out the sword that he had out earlier, as well as another sword. And one is glowing red and one is glowing like a light blue. And those are his swords, Nefer and Befer. And one is good and one is bad. And they both speak. They're like his guardian angels, angel on one side, devil on the other. So from there, the two become companions, adventurers together. And Heads or Tails, as time goes on, begins teaching Wismer to be a better fighter. And we get the impression, you know, they're not necessarily heroes. They do a little bit of robbery. Nothing, you know, real evil or egregious, but they're survivors. But they make a mistake. They raid a chicken coop, and it turns out to be a village where Gorgor Bay, a half ogre, demi-ogre, leader of a big war band of men, he had recently raided the village and taken it over. So it's basically his chicken coop at this point, and he's in a bit of trouble. They're in a bit of trouble. I'll pause from the story a little bit just to say one thing. As I'm going through, I'm noticing, and I noticed when I read, there's a nice use of different panel sizes and shapes. You know, you might have just a few per page. But what made me think of it was the page that introduces Gorgor Bay is a splash page. where he's riding some kind of huge, like, rhino beast or something like that into battle. Lots of detail. And the next page is where our two protagonists are brought before him and put in jail, and a whole lot of different small things happen, and there's a ton of panels on the page. So that's a really cool aspect of the arc. So it turns out that it's hard to keep our two fellows in jail because Heads or Tails can just call his swords to him and they will teleport to him, and so he can easily use them to break out of the cage that they've been put in. And so they get caught again, put back in jail. His swords are taken. Gorgor has them, and they look pretty small in his hands. But and then Heads or Tails just teleports them back, and Gorgo says, "How long are we going to play this game?" And so, long story short, they end up impressing Gorgor enough that he invites them to be a part of his band. And we get another kind of sequence of time going by where now they're a part of his band, and they're making their way across the land. Really the only significant event that happens in this spot is that Wismer, he comes across one of the members of their band bathing, and she stands up, is fully nude, and Wismer says, "I didn't, wait, you're different to us?" And she's like, "Wait, you mean you never seen a naked woman before?" And he says, "No," and she doesn't really believe him, and she throws a dagger at him. But then she's like, "Come here." She's like, "I'm actually starting to believe you." And she says, "Take off your clothes. I'm going to teach you a game. And you can probably figure out the game that they play." And they become lovers from that point on. It's funny because
guess what game they play?
When she's bathing. And
what game do they play?
I was surprised to see her parts. And
can you hear me, Mike?
I can hear you.
But then we see her clothed. She pretty much just wears a bathing suit. equivalent of armor. It doesn't really hide her physique, so I don't know what he thought those curves under her armor were. But needless to say, she takes a liking to him, and they become lovers. So then eventually they come to this scenario where
how does he not hear a word we're saying?
Wismer's abilities is that the wind basically speaks to him, and he finds out that way that there's an ambush waiting for them, and it turns out to be true. Gorgor's army is able to win a decisive battle instead of getting ambushed. And because of that, Wismer becomes a lieutenant. So that's a big jump in his status there. Eventually they come to a city of sorcerers, and they have a battle there. With the sorcerers, the main important thing that happens here is that we see also that Wismer has some kind of psychic ability. He ends up in a battle with the main leader, just sort of instinctively uses his psychic ability, which we kind of visually is represented by like a red flames around his head and coming from his eyes. When the battle's all over and he ends up sparing the leader's life, whose name is Hazin, so that he can be taught how to use these abilities of his. So life for a little while for Weismer is making love to the elven woman that I mentioned earlier. What was her name? Her name,
I would help him, but he's not going to hear me.
Is Frediva.
Frediva!
Making love to Frediva and training with her. Training with heads or tails as well. Training with his in and his psychic abilities, etc. Some time goes on and this other group is on the move. Meanwhile, the White Horde, they're known as, because the knights in the army, they all wear white. So when this battle, so they're one group that's been operating in the background, and they're planning to march and to take on Gorgor at this wizard's village, wizard city that they've taken over. And then there's this other kind of mysterious group that it's this kind of like old, really old or almost skeletal looking guy sitting before this like divination pool of green. We don't really know what's going on with them. But he seems to have, like, he summons this large red demon looking guy from that green pool, who he calls Umarch. He tells him to go to the place where the wizard, the battle is going to be happening, with the White Army, and he says, protect the child. Your life depends on it. So when the battle occurs, this demon Urmarch sort of takes over Gorgor's mind and tells him to command his army to leave the citadel, where they're pretty much, you know, safe, or at least like have a huge advantage to the advancing army that they're going to fight. But instead, he commands his people to leave and to go out into the field. And as a result, Gorgor's army is pretty much crushed. It's a slaughter. It was instigated for some reason by this demon and the one who commands him. And Weismer is taken before the leader of the White Army, and he says, I recognize your coat of arms. I fought at your father's side in days of old. And Weismer doesn't know his background, and so he thinks that Weismer was kidnapped and forced to fight against his will, and is released. So he goes and he finds Heisen dead, and believes pretty much that everyone is dead. And he calls the winds to him and commands death to the knights. He's so, you know, upset, he unleashes his power like he's never done before, and there's this huge explosion and fire in the city. And then approaching from behind is two people. They look to be in the armor of the White Armor, the White Army. And one says, shame you waited so long to unleash those powers. And then the other says, you didn't think you'd get rid of us that easily, did you? And it's heads or tails and Frediva, in which we saw them both get struck blows, but not necessarily immortal ones. So that's kind of where it ends, with the three of them kind of fleeing the scene as the city is just a burning mess because of what Weismer did. It's about 44 pages. Like I said, it's pretty cool art, I would say, for the like fantasy setting. It has like a unique look to it, and enough flavor that it stands out. There, if I would criticize anything, is initially Weismer and Heads or Tails looked a little too similar to me. They both have Widow's Peaks, and Heads or Tails is kind of, his dialogue seems to imply that Weismer's a bit younger than him, but maybe it's just because he's an elf and Weismer's, well, either human or half elf. It sounds like he might be half elf, but I thought they didn't look a little bit, they didn't look different, quite different enough. But other than that, I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the art. I thought the art was good. Nice like visual choices sort of emphasize some of the things in the story. There's a cool, there's a prologue that I kind of skipped over because it's not really clear as to how it like affects the story at this point, but it involves like a character visiting the Oracle, and you know, a lot of times in fantasy stories the Oracle is this old woman in a cave or something. This might be a cave of some sort, but when this man summons the Oracle, it's this huge blue column with tons of different faces and stalks with eyes, and there's a single page spread showing this huge oracle, and it speaks this prophecy through like 10 to 12 word bubbles, the word bubbles are all different shapes. Some are squares, some are circles, some look like thought bubbles, some have kind of like a crazy squiggly. And it really gets across the point that the Oracle is speaking from all these different mouths, but also that it's speaking in different voices. And you don't even, you know, before you even get to the caption that says, "Thus spoke the Oracle's numerous voices," you've already understood that from that visual choice. So it was a really cool, unique take on an oracle, and I liked the way it was represented. So it was kind of a neat start. So yeah, I've never even heard of this, and I just thought to try it and thought it was pretty cool.
You can't hear us?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
I can hear Chris. You. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Chris.
Either that or he's like the best actor ever. Right?
I texted him too. Oh, he read it. He read it.
Yeah.
Hang on. We can hear you. You can't hear us.
I IM'd him in the Skype.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, hang on."
That's pretty cool if he could act through this. That's so weird.
Very, very. I've never seen that one before.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how that happened.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you guys now. Somehow my speakers got muted. I don't know how that happened.
Oh my God, we were talking to you, we were commenting on the thing, and you just kept rolling right through. Finally, we're like, you can't hear us.
Sorry about that.
I thought you were pulling one of your fast ones, like, but I'm like, how could he be not interrupted? Like, we're talking, and you were, like, talking right through it. And I was like, this is amazing. This is the best acting I've ever seen.
Do you think it came out awful as far as the podcast goes?
No, I think it came out great because we only interrupted like once. You were asking for somebody's name, and Rob was going to give the name, and you couldn't.
You can't hear me.
I don't want your help, Rob.
And I was trying to find out what sex game they were playing, like what they alluded
that's,
to.
That's when we learned. Yeah, that's when we learned you couldn't hear because you said that you think that we all know what they were playing. And so Mike's like, well, what were they playing?
They're playing, yeah, I don't get it. I wanted to know.
It was just the plain old game.
Yeah, it was.
That's funny because I was thinking, oh, they're pretty quiet. But I mean, that has happened before, and it wasn't
I've never heard that happen before. I've heard the opposite, where we can't hear you.
Yeah.
No,
but I've never seen where you
happened.
Can't hear us.
Yeah, I just mean it has happened where the other person or the other two people might be quiet during the other person talking, but when you also didn't say anything when I was done, that's when I was like, what's going on? And I saw a text come up on my phone from Rob. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
like, man, I really
like
put them to sleep.
Story, though.
Yeah, I don't have either of you guys ever heard of it before?
Never.
It's not even in our database.
Not in the database at all. No, I never even heard of it.
Huh.
It's French.
Yeah, you need to pay extra for the French version of your database, probably. It's Epic Dark Fan. There is a Wikipedia page. In French, it's called the Chroniques de la Lune Noir. It was published, there's 14 volumes published from May 1989 to April 2017.
What's the French name of it?
Chroniques de la Lune Noir, or Lune Noir.
How do you spell Chroniques?
Like Cron, like Chronicles, I Q U E S. I took French in high school, but
it's still
you
not
could, you
there.
You could tell.
We have the Chroniques de Batman, de Conan,
Chroniques.
De Phantom Maid, de Marvel, de Spawn.
Actually, it looks like there's actually 20 volumes with a zero volume also, but the most recent volume came out this year. So they've been working on this for a long time. I find it curious to just because so much stuff happened in the first volume, you know, and that's only 1/20th of the story. I imagine this must go some pretty crazy places.
Yeah.
You know. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I can go next.
Here you guys again.
I'm more on the
You're a moron?
Well beaten path rather than something more interesting like Chris did. And
it's
we talked a
Firestorm. Let me guess.
No, no Firestorm. I did finish that, though. That was very... I'll just tell you real quick that I thought that some of the best, in retrospect, reading the whole thing, some of the best parts of it were probably when it started to fall off in readership with Ostrander, like when he was a totally different character. It
you,
got
you like
really,
that, huh?
Really interesting. Well, I thought they just... It was just such a different... and bold change that it really was cool, but they were still like, it seemed they never quite knew what to do or never got around to figure out what to do with like Ronnie and whether he was with his high school sweetheart or if he was going to be with Firehawk. And even with when Ostrander came on, like he had the high school girlfriend show up a couple times. And I'm like, well, is this going to go anywhere? And then it just like never went further. Like she disappeared. She just stopped appearing altogether. And And you could tell, like, he was starting to do some other stuff. He brought an old nemesis from high school back from the very first series, the first issue. And he kind of set him up with powers. But then when 100 came, he told the editors, he's like, I really don't have any more stories I want to tell. And they decided, because of declining sales and the fact that Ostrander was going off, that they would just end the book there. But I thought it was really, really well done, though. But what I'm going to talk about today is not that. It's Brave and the Bold, number 146, starring Batman and the Unknown Soldier.
Ah, War Month.
Uh-huh. So this one's by Bob Haney, and the guest artists are Romeo Tangal and Frank McLaughlin. The cover is still Aparo. And how this ends up starting is, now this is set in Earth 2. It's not specifically says Earth 2. It just says years ago on a world not our own. When the world was covered by dark clouds of World War II, a masked manhunter prowled, et cetera, et cetera. So this happens during World War II, and it's Batman with just the black bat on his chest without the yellow circle. So without saying so, this looks like a world Earth 2 tale. He's patrolling Gotham, and he hears somebody shouting out in German, and he tracks down where this is coming from. He sees somebody running from the house. He tackles him, but he ends up getting unexpectedly powerfully kicked, kind of dazes him, and the guy runs off. So he continues to hear somebody asking for help and also speaking German from the inside of the house. And he lets himself in through a window, and there's an old man that is dying, and he dies as Batman approaches. Batman starts looking for evidence, and he then leaves the place but stays outside while the police and Commissioner Gordon come, and they say that it's a simple case of robbery and homicide, and Batman disagrees. He notices that the safe has been opened, but he also noticed some sand is on the floor as well. So he comes back later and talks to the housekeeper and asks some questions like what he had in the safe, and he only had scientific papers. He had lived in Germany and had escaped and came to the United States when the Nazis took power, and apparently that this is a scientist that's involved in atomic research. And he does some digging into the sand back at the lab and discovers the area of the beach that the sand comes from. And he manages to uncover a hastily covered up Nazi, inflatable raft that was hidden on the beach. So now he knows that the Germans, for some reason, wanted this guy's research. And he goes to the tennis club, and he starts talking to one of his acquaintances who actually owns a mining company and deals in uranium. And this guy happens to mention that a South American diplomat had been asking for some, if they could actually get an order of uranium from him. But he's tied up in terms of having to supply all the uranium to the United States during the war, so he's not able to give this diplomat any, although he keeps asking for it. So after he starts doing some more investigating, he decides to, once he has this information about the uranium and so on, he decides to fly up to Washington to give this information to the government, and he does. And it's then that they realize that the so-called diplomat is actually a ranking official with Nazi Germany. And it's here that the government pairs the Unknown Soldier with Batman to uncover this. So, you know, they get some more information on this professor who has been killed, and he was working with uranium. All that they can tell Unknown Soldier and Batman is that the government is working on a secret weapon that can actually totally dramatically change the face of the war. And if Germany gets it first, it's pretty much would be all over for the Allies. So with some stealth, a lot of disguise changes on the Unknown Soldier's part, which is always cool. He ends up sneaking to the Lincoln Memorial, where there's going to be, again, this so-called diplomat is again trying to locate some more uranium. The miner CEO says, "No, again, I can't do that. I have to get government clearance." And he, the bad guy, the Nazi, starts attacking him, but the Unknown Soldier puts an end to that. He ends up shooting, but the Nazi gets away. So, oh no, I'm sorry, he didn't get away. They caught him, but he had to go. He had to go to the hospital. Then they claim diplomatic immunity, and as he's being loaded onto the ambulance to go back, Batman and Unknown Soldier are like, okay, this is where we're going to have to get him. So they end up following the ambulance, which opens up and people start shooting from inside the ambulance, and they figured out that it was a decoy, and they go flying back to or not flying literally, but driving really fast back to the airport. And that's where they see that this is where this fake diplomat actually went, the Nazi official. He's hired a private pilot to take him up and take pictures of the New Mexico area, which is where they had flown to previously. And they start he wants to take all these pictures, and of course Los Alamos is around there as well. And unbeknownst to the Nazi, the pilot has been replaced by, of course, the Unknown Soldier. So they start battling because some oil ends up getting on the Unknown Soldier's face, and it starts smearing his makeup. And they start fighting, and the Nazi ends up knocking out the Unknown Soldier, and he's the one piloting the plane, so it's just crashing straight down. And lands on a hill. It does actually start a fire, but the Nazi grabs the camera and starts taking off as Batman starts driving in a Jeep to the crash. And he ends up checking out the soldier. The soldier's okay. And in the meantime, the Nazi has again escaped them. So they end up getting some coded message from the Nazi that was calling back to the South American country. And there was some coding message where it said Proteus sleep his last. And they started to figure out that there's going to be some sort of plan exchange going on at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on Memorial Day. So again, the Unknown Soldier puts a disguise on. They notice that the diplomat is there, and he goes up to lay some flowers at the Unknown Soldier's memorial, and he puts one set of flowers down, and he reaches over to another set and grabs a single rose. And so they notice this, and they figure that the plans must be wrapped inside of this rose. So the Unknown Soldier goes ahead and grabs a wheelchair, and he has disguised himself as FDR. So FDR starts thanking everyone for coming, and he gives a special thanks to the diplomat from San Pedro, and he said, He says, may a crippled man borrow your flower to wear as a token of respect? So the diplomat's like, but. So he grabs it, and so they're like, well, we got the plans, but suddenly the man runs off, and it looks, and what it turns out is he's trying to actually detonate a bomb that he had there, just in the off chance that the plans would not go well. Batman was able to get there in the nick of time and actually threw the bomb away. So it saved everybody. And even with all of that, the Nazi soldier got away again, and they figured that he's probably at the San Pedro embassy again. And it just ends with, someday, the unknown soldier saying, someday he's going to try to get back to Germany and I'll be waiting. So it says that story will be told in a future issue of The Unknown Soldier. So I don't know if it had been. I'll have to look that up and see if he ever encounters this guy again. But this was a fun one. I think I'd mentioned it a little bit, Mike, on one of the DC Everything Else when we talked about some war stories. This was one of the first ones that I ever read with Unknown Soldier, so I wanted to reread it again.
Ah, cool.
Yep.
So for my pick, I haven't explored Star Comics much, which is Marvel's, I guess, all ages books. I read a lot of Top Dog because Kirk turned me on to Top Dog, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. But we have Star Wars Droids, number one. I bought this from Aaron Myers. This is all these number ones are pretty good to get if you're a collector. The story was by Dave Manick, and John Romita did the pencils, which
wow.
I was like, wow. The other thing that's neat is Tom DeFalco, who's one of my favorites, is the executive editor, and the editor-in-chief is Jim Shooter. Maurice Severin is the colorist, so we got some big names on this.
Yeah, we do.
And the story didn't, like... it's toned down a little bit, but it was highly entertaining. The droids are on their way to their new master. And they're onto a planet called Dodz, D-O-D-Z. And while they're on the ship, they're on with a bunch of other droids, and they're like making fun of, they're like, Dodz, it's so tiny that it's like half a moon, and they're like laughing at him because they're going there. So droids have a sense of humor, and they're also bullies because they pick on C-3PO and R2-D2. And they land there, and they're in a gunfight, and a little boy is there. Of course, you got like he looks like Anakin, but when he was real young in the first of the trilogy. And it's a kid called... Jost Ellen or something like that, and he's trying to get his speeder up and running so he could go fight these. He thinks these guys are killer droids, and they work for a governor called Klug, and Klug is like an alien that charges taxes up the wazoo of these people, and he has a giant robot that will destroy stuff if they don't pay the taxes. So C-3PO and R2-D2 get involved with this kid, and this kid revives an old robot, a fighting robot that's sort of retired. It's like got an X-1 on it. It's a Ranger X-1, and R2 helps revive it because it's been powered off forever. And that droid becomes like a fighting droid so it can fight the other droid that Klug has. And it's sort of... a big battle between robots, and obviously the good robot wins, and the people are free of having to pay taxes, and that's the whole goal. And then R2-D2 and C-3PO are off to their next adventure. But if it wasn't for R2 charging up the X-1, and then later on when they're fighting, he transfers the energy from the other robot to the X-1, he's the reason that they actually defeated the bad guys. And then they sort of arrested Governor Klug and put Kug and put him in intergalactic trial. So the kid's a hero, and then C-3PO and R2-D2 are off to another adventure. And Star Comics had, like, I wouldn't mind getting all of the droids for sure, and the Ewoks, and Peter Porker would be one that I'd be interested in. Top Dog, because I like Top Dog. And then I also bought He-Man and the Masters of the Universe number one. So yeah, there's a couple of these that I'm sort of interested in, and if I could pick them up for cheap, I would pick them all up, even the Care Bears and Strawberry Shortcake for that matter.
Short and sweet.
Yep.
I also read, when I finished talking about that other comic and realized I couldn't hear you guys, I thought for a second I had disconnected at some point, and I thought there was no way I was going to go through all of that again. But yeah, last time I talked about the Grackle number one, and they added number two to Hoopla, so I checked that out, and it continues to be a good, really good crime comic. For those that like that sort of thing, definitely should seek it out. The last issue ended with the Cross, the detective protagonist, being chased by a bunch of crooked cops, and he crashes his car into the river and is able to escape and sneak up behind him and sets off an explosion with a homeless person's oil drum or fire thing that you kind of see in movies, at least. I don't know if they do that for real. But he calls, and he calls this guy Danny, who picks him up. And in the last issue, it was kind of a little unclear as to who Cross worked for. I mean, I know that he was doing work for the head of the Triads, but he had mentioned at one point a guy named Colonel. I wasn't really sure who that was, and we get a lot more clarity about what's going on with that. So he goes and has some coffee with this Danny, and who also works for the Colonel. And the Colonel's still mysterious, but we know for sure that that's who Cross really works for. And the Colonel seems to be this shadowy figure who recruits talented men who are in like tough situations, and gets them out of that situation and hires them. And the Colonel's and in Cross's case, he was on unpaid leave. He discovered a group of rogue cops that were moonlighting as hitmen, and when they tried to turn him in, the old boy network, he says, the old boy network chewed me up and spat me out. So, probably could assume that he was a decent guy, even though he was no longer a cop. But we have that confirmation there. So it's the Colonel, for whatever reason, is wanting Cross to work for the guy in the Triads. And the people that work for the Colonel, they have a lot of lot to thank him for. So we see that they kind of do what he asks. So the kind of the background with this, if people didn't hear the last episode or don't remember, is you have the current there's a mayoral race, the current mayor Lattimore, and then Mancini is the guy that's running against him, and Mancini's daughter Blaze is Cross's girlfriend, and you have the Triads, that are Chinese, and then you have a Vietnamese group called the Flying Tigers that are using this, whose men use this drug that gives you a lot of power, but if you use too much of it, you can spontaneously combust, which is always a drawback. And the Flying Tigers, they have these two members, a male and a female, and the female is also a model like Blaise Mancini is, which will come into play later. So the main sort of action sequence in this issue, it takes place at a spring fashion show where Blaze and this woman that works for the Flying Tigers are both in the show. During the so Cross is there on Colonel's orders to protect June, the triad leader. And the event is sponsored by the current mayor, Lattimore. He goes up to start it off, just says a few words, and then it's off. Blaze is the first one to come out. And we know that the one Flying Tiger member is in the show. And then the other guy that we saw is undercover as a waiter. So when Myrna, the Flying Tiger member, comes out to show her outfit, it's a cool, really cool page. So she comes out, someone by the stage holds up a bouquet of roses to her, and she reaches and takes the roses, and she pulls a weapon out of them. So it was kind of a neat setup, you know, because she wouldn't, in her outfit, she wouldn't have anywhere to hide this automatic weapon. So she takes it and she just opens fire on the mayor right there near the stage, and hits him at least 5 or 6 times in the chest. And I was actually genuinely surprised. I mean, I knew something was going down, but I didn't expect the mayor to just get shot down right there. Definitely raised my eyebrows. And so that's when the guy undercover as the waiter lifts the cover on his dish on his tray, and he's got a weapon out of there. He's planning to go for the triad leader, but Cross and his other bodyguard protect him and try to get him out through the kitchens. There's more men in the kitchen with weapons. The triad leader's girlfriend or whoever she is gets shot, but they get him out. Cross gets him out into the car and they take off. The only thing is the June's bodyguard, Lone, who we also saw last issue, gets left behind, and he's pretty pissed, so that might be a loose thread, but that's where the issue ends. So very cool, very good, very worth seeking out if you like crime comics. I continue to feel that way after reading the second issue, so I would recommend it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This is only 4 issues, huh?
Looks like, yeah. It was published by Acclaim around the time that they were doing the Valiant properties.
Yeah.
And that seems to be why it's showing up. It's like showing up at the same time on Hoopla and Comixology and stuff as Acclaim era Valiant stuff. So it seems like the owner of that stuff right now is putting it out there.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting too, because it seems from a company perspective they're downsizing pretty significantly.
Big time.
Like, yeah. Exo Man of War, man. That book is not coming out till next year. Did you see the new previews?
Yes, what is
Like,
going on?
fuck.
Like, I understand we had the
Co
you know,
yeah, the
pandemic
COVID, yeah.
and shut down, you know, DCBS shut down, or not DCBS, Diamond shut down. But it, like, March number one came out, number two just came out, what, like last week or 2 weeks
Yeah,
ago?
last week, yeah.
And so I guess what are they doing? Two more issues or something like that? And then it's not until next year again?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Do two issues, they only do two series a month now.
Well, they have Savage solicited with Bloodshot. Bloodshot's the only one that's really coming out
Rye yet?
regularly. Rye too.
Yeah. But I know, I think Bloodshot's ending at 12. And I know Shadow Man's coming, so it seems like they're just swapping, like they used to swap out to be a study first. It was
Four,
like
yeah, the
six.
study four books.
Yeah, and now
It
it's a
was
study six.
six, and then it was four, and then now it's two. It's more like we'll have two.
That's crazy.
I understand it. It's probably the demand has just gone down.
Oh, yeah. It's just such a shame. I mean, people were complaining. Remember all those, you know, huge Valiant people were complaining when there was only like nine a month.
Yeah.
Now it's, yeah, did that other, one ever come out? What was it called?
Bad idea.
Did Visitor ever finish?
You know, I don't know.
Checking. No, number five still has not come out. It's a six issue series. One through four has come out so far.
That's weird.
It's like, are these
Well,
coming out? Are
you
canceled?
should ask Martin. He's still talking to the one
Yeah.
guy that works there.
I will.
Just say, what the hell's happening? Aren't you gonna finish the Visitor?
And then
I
they
only have
solicited
one
a
through
client witness,
four. Do you
but I
have
don't think.
five?
No, I do not have five. Four was the last
Oh,
one.
I was gonna be I was being pissed.
And remember they solicited this mystery one, the final witness? But that never came out.
Yeah.
I have a DCBS order, but there's nothing out.
It's a shame.
Yeah, they were, I mean, a
It's a
lot of
shame to see a company that had a big following just fall apart.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think back before Valiant returned. You know, it was something that was, of all those dead universes, that was the one that was kind of talked about the most as to whether, you know, when can it come back? It should come back. Like, people really wanted it to come back, and there was a lot of excitement about it coming back, you know.
Yeah.
But it just
It
shows
came
it's really,
back so
it's.
strong and so well with
Yeah, it
DMF.
just shows, it kind of shows how hard it is to keep something afloat, you know, in the industry.
Yep.
I feel.
It's hard because they would have never had to ask for money. That's what they lost their company essentially. The only one that's around still is Fred Pierce. Who has links back to the original,
Original Valiant.
yeah, the original Valiant, yeah.
Crazy.
But
30.
Dinesh and all those guys, they're off in Bad Idea, just teasing everybody, saying, we're coming, and
Yep.
I don't even know if I'm gonna get anything anymore, 'cause they say they added stores, but Cowabunga wasn't one of them, so.
Cowabunga wasn't one of them. DCBS still isn't, but Midtown was. It's like, why you add a Midtown?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I still have ordered.
why would you add
I
Cowabunga?
have one on order from some place.
Yeah, I've got
And
one.
they've held had my money f since, man, it's been over a year.
You switch from Juan because Juan does Juan's shop
Oh,
go under?
his went under. Yeah, so
Bad.
I was like, "Oh, I'll just get him from Cowabunga," but they're not solicited there, so I don't know what's going on.
I went through Brave New World in California. That's run by Andy Legal, who
Yeah.
used to like their one of their salespeople.
Have they charged you already?
Yeah, I did pay. It was if you went ahead and you paid. If you paid for your pre-order, then you were in for that, a raffle for that, whatever that that black and white thing was that came out. I assume that they raffled it off. I never heard anything about it, but yeah, so I did pay at that point. So it was probably a good, whenever that came out, a couple months ago now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get him. I'll, you know, support his store. That's fine. And, you know, when they come, he'll send them out to me. But, you know, it's like that whole button thing and everything.
That was stupid.
That.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what's going on. Just let me know when the books are available.
They seemed, instead of, like, getting me excited, they seemed to piss me off more. Every time they post something, oh, there's this exclusive, what do you call it, those small mini comics, and you can't get them, and I just get so pissed off.
I'm kind of the same, except for what I just decided to do is just stop paying any attention at all. And, you know, I know I'm in with Brave New World, and when something's available, then they'll let me know, and I'll order it, and
ping Cowabunga again and see what the deal is. But
yeah, it's weird.
Isn't there another batch of TKO books out?
Yeah, there was three of the collections. There was a bunch of I'm looking at them because I bought them. There's three like mini comics.
Did you buy them from them directly?
Yeah, okay. I bought them from them directly. They also offered, it was like $1.99 or something like that, or $2.99. These mini comics, they're small in size, and they're just like they're the length of a comic book. And I think that they're all like they're called TKO shorts. So there's three of those at $2.99 each. I bought those. And then there's one that was like an actual prose book with illustrations. So I bought that as well. It's called Blood Like Garnets. I don't know, you know, I'll read it at some point, but it's an actual book.
Hmm.
So I got the whole thing. I got everything. But I waited for them to like do one of those 20% off.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I went ahead and placed my order. The new ones look great, though. Like, there's a one called Red Fork that is.
Did you already receive them, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got them a few weeks ago. 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah, they look good. I definitely recommend the batch of those of the collections. Anyhow, all three of them look pretty good.
Yeah, I just sent Eric a message to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If I bought him from Cowabunga the last batch, and if he's doing the TKO, if he's doing the TKO, and then I asked him any update on Bad Idea because he told me they were coming, and they released another statement saying here's the new stuff, and I didn't see him on there.
Oh.
You think they'd want to be there because they're the only there's no store in Wisconsin. Like, I looked at their entire list. There's no Wisconsin stores.
I didn't realize that. So why would they not, unless they decided not to go through with it, why wouldn't they have accepted them when they already have so many in other locations?
I don't know.
I mean, Cowabunga is huge too.
Yeah.
In terms of like their reach with their mail order service.
Yep.
Hmm.
Well, what do you got?
I've got my other one. I'm going to cover is Velocity, number 2, volume 1. It's got Savage Dragon on the cover with Velocity.
What?
By Kurt Busiek.
Why are you like? Is it? You said volume 2.
No, volume 1.
Okay. Savage Dragon. Yep.
This is one of the ones that Joe just gave me. So
you're going after my heart with Savage Dragon. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
I am on such a like image kick, like it's not a bit funny right now, especially with Savage Dragon and Spawn. Like, God.
I know you've been all.
I have this one, though. I was like worried I didn't have it. Yeah.
Did you have this one?
I heard the panic in your voice there for a second.
Yeah, I'm like, Savage Dragon Velocity?
Savage Dragon?
So Joe sent this, but I don't have one or three. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to dive right into number two. We won't see how it began. We won't see how it ends. But damn it, I'll know what happened in the middle.
That's a good test sometimes to do to see. Like this, the one I just talked about, I thought they actually did a pretty good job in the first page or two to like get you, you know, you're not going to have as great of an experience, but it did tell you enough if you only had that issue to read the one that you got.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was similar. I mean, it got you right into the story, and I don't know. I've always been partial to Velocity. I don't know why, but I seem to really like a lot of speedsters. For whatever reason, and part of it for her is her costume. I like the costume design and stuff, and I don't know. I seem to be drawn to all the different Flashes and DC and this character as well. But anyhow, this one starts out at the police department, and Dragon has ended up rescuing, in effect, Velocity. And she's being tracked down by some weird villain called Charnel. And apparently, for whatever reason, he's after her. He killed a bunch of people in Connecticut the day before. She must have encountered him in the first issue, and she ran away. Dragon ended up rescuing her, and here we are. So at the police station, one of the officers does some cross-referencing on his computer, trying to see who this might be. And apparently, when he brings him up, he gets some hits on him, and he's killed. Doesn't say how many, but he's killed a lot of people apparently. So they get some more information off the computer for some useful background information, and so. The three of them get in the cop car and actually drive to the prison. And it turned out that this Charnel was actually in jail as just a regular civilian. He had any powers. Dragon uses some intimidation to get his hands on some paperwork that's apparently classified. You get some background information on this Charnel, and his real name was Willie Cantrell, and he had been arrested and sent to prison for a bunch of breaking and entering convictions, and he found out that he had terminal cancer in prison, and he became kind of like distraught and obsessed with death, as you might imagine somebody could be, but he really thought, you know, like that's all he could think about. So this doctor that they're speaking to right now, says that, Willie's condition came to his attention, and Willie agreed to be part of an experimental cancer cure. So they went ahead, gave him a series of injections and radiation treatments, and it worked, but it didn't work in the way that it was supposed to. Didn't actually cure his cancer. It enhanced his cancer and gave him the ability to control it. So, you know, like cancer basically is uncontrolled multiplying cells. So he can control this, and he actually created like this huge form for himself with like spikes and everything else, and real looks like a real monster. And he ended up breaking out some one day and killed every officer that he encountered along the way. So they're wrapping up, and just when they finish learning about Willie and what happened to him, he breaks through the wall as Charnel, And him and Dragon start going at him. The police officer that's Dragon's partner, I don't know how familiar or how long this guy lasted or if he was always the partner, Mike, but his last name's Dirt, Officer Dirt. Does that sound familiar? Phil Dirt.
That's no, I remember Alex.
Okay.
Was so, it Joe Dirt?
No, yeah, that's what I thought. It was Joe Dirt, but no, it's Phil Dirt. It's his cousin. And so Dragon
Phil, Phil Dirt.
are going at it.
That's what you do with the whole FGM.
That's right, you Phil Dirt. Phil starts shooting at him, and Charnel just punches him across the face with his sharp claws. He's got all these lacerations on his face. Velocity grabs him and runs him out of harm's way. Dragon, now that Charnel kind of distracted, Dragon tackles him outside, to get him outside of the prison walls. And Velocity goes to help. So as the two others are duking it out, Velocity grabs one of those waste containers, those huge garbage containers on wheels, and she grabs it and starts gaining momentum, and start pushes it right into Charnel, and Charnel goes through the wall of the outside of the prison wall outside, and into incoming traffic on the highway. He ends up getting hit by a truck, which pisses him off to the point where he punches his hand through the windshield and through the driver's face. Okay? And then he escapes. To all of that, Dragon's reaction is, thanks for the save, Velocity. Nice work. How was that nice work? He threw the guy into oncoming traffic and caused a guy driving to be his face to totally be, disintegrated. Like, if anything, you're putting people in harm's way. I'm not sure that was good work. But anyhow, that's what he said. He thought
that was
a good
job.
It was
a
good
job.
That's what he said. Good job.
He saved a lot of lives. He only took one head.
I would think that you want to keep him inside those prison walls on the outdoors, but what do I know?
Supposedly, though, he's been around. Phil Dirt, I love that name because that's so Eric Larson. but he's a gay man that was on the police force that I guess he got contracted AIDS. And he appeared like issues 4 through almost through 33, and that's where he died. He died because Dragon tried to inject blood into him. I guess to try to save him, and it didn't work. To do a transfusion.
We get some history on Phil.
Yeah.
But
there you go.
Tell that they knew each other very well, and it seemed like so that's interesting. Dragon calls dispatch that he's asked for roadblocks, choppers, all that stuff. He's like, okay, he's tough. He's like, but he's going to be coming back for you, so let's get you to a safe house. So they go ahead, go to the safe house, and Velocity is just like staring at Dragon, and he asks why, and she explains that that once Charnel scratches somebody, he can actually duplicate with his cell control. He can actually duplicate people's appearances. So, I mean, Dragon's got all these Band-Aids all over his body from the fight. So she was nervous that suddenly out of nowhere he's going to turn into Charnel, but he's like, no. So they discuss a little bit. He kind of goes very, very briefly goes over his origin, how he just showed up out of nowhere, and he doesn't know his past. And who shows up but Phil? He comes and he's bearing Chinese food, so he starts giving out the Chinese food to everyone, and all of a sudden it occurs to Velocity, and she goes running at Phil and pushes him right out the window, and she's like, "Phil was all scratched and bruised up, and you look fine." And sure enough, he transforms into Charnel, and he's about to attack Velocity, where she starts running, and she wants to make sure that Charnel's following her, and he is. And the last thing that she says is, "I want to make a deal with you." And he says, "A deal." And so we cut back to Dragon back at the safe house, and he's like, she's been gone for an hour and not back. And a different officer says, "Oh, I saw this in the door jam." And it's a letter from Velocity basically saying, "You know, thank you for your help. I appreciate it, but I don't want anyone else to get hurt, you know, on account of me. So I'm going to try to take care of him on my own." So it cuts back to her, and she's running out to what's called the Red Bay Housing Project in Brooklyn. And there's an old Cyber Force villain called Mother May I, who leads this group of mutants out that way. And so she encounters the mutants. She says that she's looking for a favor from them, and that then she will owe them a favor. And they're about to start attacking her when Mother May I shows up and says, and wonders what kind of favor Velocity would be asking Mother May I. And so then that's the end. And I don't know, you know, in terms of what type of deal she's trying to make with Charnel, and how Mother May I plays into that. But that was the end of this particular issue, and it says to be concluded. So I guess I probably won't find out for a long time, huh? If ever, how this ends up, unless you cover it, Mike.
I might.
it was cool. I like I said, I like Velocity. I ended up getting her second.
Yeah, I have her two series and pilot season.
Yeah, I don't have the pilot season either. I only have that.
And I think I completed Cyber Force too.
Oh, you have all of Cyber Force?
Yeah, all of Cyber Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on Wetworks next, and then
yeah, like I don't have any of Wetworks. I remember you saying that you didn't. I don't know if you had at the time that I was talking.
Yeah, I had none, and now I have like the first 11. I need to finish it.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I'm making my way to having a full, at least all the major. I have a lot to do on the Darkness and Witchblade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to eventually get Invincible, but those are expensive because that Netflix cartoon's coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the creator, probably too.
Yeah, but his other stuff hasn't really gone up, and that other, he's already had one of them go to like Cinemax. I forget if it was Outcast or which one it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that one didn't. I think Walking Dead
that's
is
true.
Like a fluke. That's
I do too.
And I think people are kind of getting burned out on it. Like
Walking Dead?
I think they're getting burned out on Walking Dead.
Oh, I totally agree. Everyone that I, you know, interact with, like through work and just, you know, other friends, you know, we were all watching Walking Dead, and now there's a couple of us that still watch, but it's more like you're already invested in all of these seasons.
Yeah.
And now we know that it's going to end, you know.
On Walking Dead. We're caught up on Fear the Walking Dead, but we're not caught up on The World, whatever that one is called.
Yeah, and that one I am watching. I haven't been watching Fear the Walking Dead. I am watching The World Beyond. It's only two seasons. They're calling it a two season limited.
That's a weird show. That show is like It, to me, it reminds me of like the hobbits, like on a journey in
They are.
it reminds me of like
Funny.
hobbits going to get a ring or something, except it's the father.
I never really thought of that, but that really is very similar, like a very similar parallel.
It even like episodically kind of goes to it. It's weird.
Does. It's like whatever their adventure happens to be in the area that they're at that particular time.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. That's funny.
The
Yeah,
other
I'm about
thing
three
that I
behind on that one.
the other thing I've been getting into, and I don't have a lot of, believe it or not, I how could I say this? I have all the Epic collections and I have all the omnibuses, but I don't have all the singles, is Star Wars, the Marvel Star Wars. And
That
I
isn't it?
picked up Star Wars 16. A lot of these are going up in value because they consider them like first appearances of stuff. Like that first appearance of Boba Fett is expensive, and I just bought like the first appearance of Lando Calrissian and all of the Empire stuff except for the Boba Fett in Empire Strikes Back. And I picked up Star Wars 16 because I read Star Wars Bounty Hunters, which is a new Marvel series that I actually fell in love with one of the bounty hunters called he's what is his name? Valance.
Yeah, balance, yeah.
And I like him a lot. And I was like, I liked him so much that I was like, does this guy exist? Like, did he exist before this series? Because I thought his first appearance was in Star Wars Bounty Hunters, and sure enough, he appeared in early issue of Star Wars number 16.
He did. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's his first appearance is there. This story is written by Archie Goodwin, who also is the editor. Jim Shooter is the consulting editor. Walt Simonson and Bob Wycheck are the artists. And
I was the same as you. I assumed that was just he was a brand new character for the
yeah,
Bounty Hunter book.
he's such a cool character, and I was like, oh, I want to find out like how this guy
Wow.
existed. And as soon as I found him in Star Wars Bounty Hunters number one, I was like Googling, and that's what led me. I said I gotta own this book because I want to have his first appearance because I like this guy a lot. And if he ever appears in Mandalorian or something, he could this
Yeah, you
could go
never
up
know.
in value.
That's
The
right.
other character I sort of dig from the original Star Wars is Jax and
He's the rabbit.
Amazia. Yeah, he's the rabbit. He's the green rabbit, and Amazia, I think is her name. It's Amaizia, and she's incredibly sexy. She's like with Jax in this series. She wears like, let me see if I can get a full panel of her to try to describe what she wears, but she's really sexy. She has like these long boots that go up to her leg. I mean, go up to like her thigh. And then she wears like these panties. She has gloves, and then she has like a bra. And then she has like these puffy pink things on her shoulders and white hair. And they had an adventure together, and ironically enough, what made this book interesting is I had read the Star Wars where these stories came from, where Han Solo met Jax and Amazia, and it's referenced in Star Wars 8 and 10. And those are really good stories because it's almost like right after it follows A New Hope, which Star Wars launches with, it ends up in this adventure where Han Solo and Chewbacca are being hunted. They go onto a planet where they have to like protect these farmers that have like no money from space pirates, and that's where they meet Jax and Amazia. And this sort of continues from that, sort of, because the interesting thing about Valance is he God, he hates robots for some reason. Like, he hates robots. And it turns out he used to be a stormtrooper captain. And because of an injury, he was almost killed. And he's got, like, the cybernetics. He's, like, half robot. And you see that in the other series, but you don't see it in this series until the very end in this comic. But he's got, like, this hatred for the Han Solo, Luke Skywalker especially, and man, does he hate the droids. It doesn't explain, like, why he hates the droids, but man, he wants to kill Luke Skywalker and the two droids. I mean, that's, like, his whole thing in life. They invade a station where there's another character that they introduce, and I always thought this character was, like, a laughing character. Like, why would they create a character called Don Juan Don Quixote, like Don Quixote, except he's got a Juan in there. Maybe it is Don Juan Quixote, but Don Juan Quixote thought he was a Jedi, and you're like, well, I know Don Quixote. What the hell? He attacks windmills, right? Well, he did that in sort of the Star Wars comic too, but he was considered like a senile old man on this farm planet, and he teamed up with Han Solo, so he was trying to find out where he was, so he goes to this medical unit. He kills Don Juan Quixote, and they find out the next location of where they need to go, and they find Jax. They set a trap for Jax, and they capture Jax, but Jax he's very loyal. He does not want to give up Han Solo. He even's willing to die for it. Like, he's a pretty loyal bunny for that matter. But he's actually saved by Amazia, and they get away, and they're like, holy crap. He tells Amazia, you're dumb, because you accidentally told Valance where they're at. She just verbally said the planet accidentally, and she's like, are you kidding me? I've been hanging here and tortured, and I didn't say anything, and then you come and rescue me, and you say it right off the bat. So they get in their ship, and they go to meet the farmers, and they're like, you gotta get ready, because this guy's coming to your planet, and you gotta arm up and prepare for this guy. And they get into a spaceship fight with Valance, and everything ends up, he lands on the planet to try to find out who they are. They invade the planet where Han Solo's not there, but they had prepared, and they had a bunch of Bantas on this planet, which cause the Bantas, like, they cause a Banta stampede, which sort of kills the majority of Valance's men, but Valance gets away, and he's still mad, and he's still angry, and he wants to kill the droids, and then he takes his face off, and that's where you see that he's half droid. And when he was on that medical planet where Don Quixote was, he went and destroyed all the medical records, because I guess he doesn't want anybody to know that he's half human. Like, he doesn't want to lose that. So yeah, it was a really cool issue. I dug it.
Sounds amazing.
Amazia. Yeah, I like this. And I've been trying to pick up Star Wars singles as I run into them. I like the whole idea of it. And I could read the whole omnibus and just read the content, but just having the singles is the collector mentality in me too.
You know what? One of the best decisions I made was back when I was a kid. I decided, so I hadn't bought much of Star Wars, bought it here or there or whatever. And when it was in the mid 80s, I decided that I would start picking it up. And I bought it monthly from 84 all the way to 107.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pretty much stayed away until Dark Horse came back.
Yeah.
And with Dark Empire, and I picked up from there. And then I stuck with it for a while. I wish I would have stuck with it, because they're so expensive. Star Wars books aren't cheap, man.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they keep going up, so like if you're hesitating because a book is 15, it's not going to go lower.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But everything is double digits or more, you know? And with all these first appearances that just pop up out of everywhere, it causes the book to spike even more. Like, yep. Now there's speculation that, what is his name, Admiral Thawne or General Thawne or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, his book is, his first appearance is going nuts because they think he's going to appear in The Mandalorian.
Right, yeah.
But that's all I have.
I'm good.
I don't have anything else either.
All right. Well, I think we could wrap this one up. It was good talking to you guys again. I'm glad you guys had a good Thanksgiving. And we'll catch up after we get back to work, unfortunately.
Good. Yeah. That'll be fun, won't it?
Yeah. All right, you can reach Chris at MythMakingETC. Thanks again for changing it back to instead of being Robot Monkey Face or whatever it was.
You're gonna be mentioning that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And it only lasted a couple weeks.
I'm at Mike Myers Brunch, and Rob is at Rob Krieger. Not spelled like Seeger, but said like Seeger.
That's right.
Yeah, I can never spell it right. I use the autofill. And then when I stopped following you for some reason, the autofill stopped working.
Yeah, Chris, were you on that day talking about that? You just out of nowhere.
No, yeah.
I tag him and stuff. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, one day, Mike Myers Brunch is now following you.
Oh my God, following me. I don't know how that happened. That's weird. I was wondering why every time I type at Rob, you would always show up. And now it's like Rob, at Rob Liefeld. Robert Liefeld shows up first. And you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and on Facebook at geekbrunchpodcast. Click the like button and follow all the episode threads there. And we'll talk to you. Wow, our next one will be 2 weeks into December, right?
Yeah.
And then we have another week and then Christmas.
That's, yep.
Is that right? Is there only 3 weeks left?
Let's see. So 2 weeks will be
December.
Yeah.
See, I'm on tap to take off the 23rd through the 4th. So I'll be off for a while if everything goes well.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
I'm off between Christmas and New Year. Yeah.
I might go back depending on off. We're not going anywhere, so because we're not going anywhere, I might go back, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I won't go back unless I have to meet schedule or something. But I'm hoping to make up for it in 3 weeks, get all my shit done. All right, well, you guys have a good one. What was that?
Busy time of year for you?
Everything's usually busy for me. I don't usually have trouble. The problem is I usually have to find my own. When one project ends, I go find another project, and sometimes I overbook myself. That's the biggest problem.
Gotcha.
But it's better to have more work than not enough. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys later.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care.